Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We open our broadcast today with a song by the Arlington Baptist College Ensemble. The Arlington Baptist College is located in Arlington, Texas. This is a great song that reminds us all that we need to praise the Lord.
With all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you want. In all that has carried me. Jesus, I thank you,
and I thank you, thank you,
thank you,
thank you, and I thank you.
Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift."
Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful."
1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you."
1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry."
Thank you.
And now a skit written and performed by Sister Shirley.
Hope you're getting ready. We sure don't want to be late this morning. Oh, just what I need to wake up the brain. A little caffeine. There really has got to be a better way to start the day than getting up in the morning. Oh, Lord. You know I'm not a morning person. But I did make the commitment that I would read your word every day. So here goes. Oh, no. Look at the time. Hey, I've got to get going or I'm going to be late. Hey, kiddo, let's get going. We don't want to be late. Grab a Pop-Tart for lunch, and I'll meet you in the car. Yeah, I've got to get to bed earlier. It just seems like the American Movie Channel just shows all the best old movies after 10 o'clock. Maybe a letter to the program director is in order. Or maybe I just need to learn to work that DVR thingy. And save. Oh, finally, it's time for lunch, and am I starving. Didn't have time for much breakfast this morning. And didn't have time for my Bible reading either, so I guess I better get to that. And according to my Bible reading chart, just 3 chapters a day, and I'll have my whole Bible read in just a year. Stay on schedule. That's my motto. Oh, here. Oh, phone. Hello? Well, hi, Mary. How's my favorite sister? Okay, so you're my only sister. Oh, no. You're not bothering me. I just got started on my lunch break, and I can talk for a few minutes. Well, you've got a question? Sure. I'll answer it if I can. Uh-huh. Oh, it's a Bible question. Okay, well, you know I go to church every Sunday. Yeah, most Sunday nights, too. Yeah, I even catch a Wednesday service from time to time. Uh-huh. Yes, I really do. I try to read my Bible every day.
Well, at least I try to.
Okay. So, what's your question? Uh-huh. Does the Bible really say that cleanliness is next to godliness? Oh, let me guess. You're trying to get my nephew to clean his room again. Oh, I'm sure it's in there somewhere. I'll do a little research on it. And my big old Strong's Concordance I've got at home. And I'll get back with you this evening. Oh, no, I'm glad to talk to you, too. Oh, yeah, I got to go, too. My lunch is just about up. Yeah, we do need to get together soon. A lunch on Saturday just sounds wonderful. Well, I'll see you then. Bye. Okay, Lord, it's just me and you now for a... Oh, my. Look at the time. I guess I'll just be doing my Bible reading tonight. I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, goodness, here it is, 10 o'clock at night. Finally, dinner's over, the dishes are done, family's in bed asleep. But if I don't get my 3 chapters read today, it'll be 6 tomorrow. So, Lord, if you have anything special that you want to show me, please make it obvious and help me read fast. You know, this self, this me, has a self problem. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I knew when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior that He was my only way to heaven. But that's after I'm gone. What about today? What about the day-to-day? Live and learn is a popular phrase I've heard all my life. But I think it's kind of backwards. I think maybe it should be learn and live. Learn what the Lord has for me personally every day and then do my best to live it. Then and only then would my value system be transformed and His ways would become my ways every day. Why in the morning? Well, there is a reason that Revelation calls Him the bright and morning star. Just as the morning star is the brightest and the last one to be seen every morning in the sky after all of the other stars have faded away, if I begin my day with the Lord and His Word every morning, then the cares of this world will fade into perspective as His grace and His peace shines through me. And just as breakfast is the most important meal of the day, well, it's that way for my spirit as well. You know, there's a reason God left His Word for me. He did it in such a unique and wonderful way over thousands of years, miraculously preserving His Word, because He knew that I would need it to feed my hungry soul. If I hungered and thirsted after righteousness the way the Bible says that I truly should, then getting up in the morning would not be so difficult to spend a few minutes in God's Word. Nor would it be difficult for me to answer the simplest of questions about Him and His and the Bible. You know, if I spent my time in the Word the way I should, God's special love letter to me that He preserved for me to give to me, to show me His love, to show me how He could help me do His will each and every day, to show me how He would lead me, well, then I might find that it would be easier to avoid hitting the snooze button in the morning to get a little extra sleep. I might find that I'd be saying, "I'm sorry, Lord," a whole lot less often. Wow, look at the time. You know, now is the time for salvation for those that are lost. But for me, it's time that I can spend with my Heavenly Father.
Just amazes me, and circumstances pass.
chapter 1, the Bible says that Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job did not, nor charged God foolishly.
Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure all things are and were created."
Listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church in Whitesboro, Texas. The song you just heard was by the Arlington Baptist College Ensemble. The Arlington Baptist College is located in Arlington, Texas, and is an institution that trains primarily preachers who will be pastors or missionaries, public school teachers as well, and school teachers for Christian schools, and they are certified to train teachers for public school and as well as private school. And, of course, many missionaries train there as well. And each year, our church has a part in the support of the Arlington Baptist College, and we appreciate and pray for them all of the time. We hope you've enjoyed hearing their programs. One of our greatest joys is to see young adults and even young children, younger children and young teenagers, begin to step up and serve the Lord. In the background, you're hearing Hannah play the piano. Last week we had one by a song by Matthew, and we have so many musicians in our church. We're just so blessed with musicians. But one of our greatest joys is to hear the younger ones begin, young adults and young people and even children begin to really step up and play music. Hannah's a young person who has just started and is playing so beautifully. And we want to encourage all the young people to develop your talents for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Bible text for today's broadcast is Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, where the Lord said concerning the Apostle Paul, "He is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Our title for the sermon is "We Are God's Vessels." Here in this text, the Lord speaks very specifically of the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who became saved, and now the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of our New Testament. And the Lord said, "He is a chosen vessel to bear my name." Now, what does the Bible mean when it calls the Apostle Paul a chosen vessel? Well, what is a vessel? According to the American Heritage Dictionary, there are several meanings. Let's look at some of them together. One of the meanings is a hollow utensil, such as a cup, vase, or pitcher, used as a container, especially for liquids. And so we might extrapolate from that definition that a vessel is something that holds something else. Remember that. We're a vessel. We're something that holds something else. A nautical definition is that a vessel is a craft, especially one larger than a rowboat designed to navigate on water, or it could be an airship. Some sort of an airplane could be called a vessel as well. And here we might extrapolate that a vessel is something that carries something else. In anatomy, the word vessel can mean a duct, canal, or other tube that contains or conveys a body of fluid. An example would be a blood vessel. So we could say that a vessel is something through which something else flows. And then another use of the word vessel is this: a person seen as the agent or embodiment as of a quality, we might say, a vessel of mercy. And again, something that holds something else. And so as we consider the word vessel, some truths become very obvious. Number one, vessels are made for the use of others. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" You see, the vessel does not decide how it will be used. It's simply available to be used as the master sees fit. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work." And so we see from that verse that a vessel needs to be clean. And certainly that does not need a great deal of elaboration. If you think of mealtime and vessels of food that are set before you, you want that to be clean. A third thing is that vessels are made to be filled. They're not full of themselves. They're full of something other than themselves. We said a vessel is something that holds something, something that carries something, something through which something flows, one thing that holds something else. Well, we're not to be full of ourselves. We're to be full of the Lord and of the joy of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord. And if we're full of ourselves, we'll never be useful as vessels. You see, Paul was chosen to be a chosen vessel. Vessels are made to be filled, and God will keep filling vessels as long as there's an empty vessel to be filled. There's an interesting story about Elisha the prophet that illustrates this. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." This one of the sons of the prophets had died. He was a good man, a godly man, but apparently he had a debt, and the creditor had come. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Now, God will always take available resources and multiply and bless those. And then he said, the prophet said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." He said, build up available resources. And he said, "I want you to get a lot of empty vessels." And then verse 4 says, "When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There's not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." You see, in order to fill a vessel has to be empty. And we might ask the question, why aren't more vessels being filled with the Spirit today? Well, God fills empty vessels, and He'll fill every available vessel that's not already full of something else. A church really is a gathering of vessels. I think the question is, are the vessels already full? Are we just already so full of ourselves that we have no room and no place for the Lord? Now, vessels are made to be poured out. They are made to be emptied again and again and again and again and again. And God will continually be refilling a vessel that is emptied out in His service and for His glory. Now, I should tell you that a vessel, a warning, can be broken. In Psalms 31:12, the psalmist said, I am as a broken vessel. A broken vessel may have once been full, but is now empty. No joy, no peace, no victory. Once a thing of beauty and usefulness, and now worthless because it has been broken. You know, the devil, the adversary, is a destroyer. And he's in the business of breaking or attempting to break or to mar God's vessels. Don't let the devil get in your life. Be filled with the Spirit. I want to say this. If you're a broken vessel today, we thank God that vessels can be repaired by the miracle-working Lord that we love and serve. In Jeremiah 18:4, the vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so He made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now, God can repair and use a broken vessel. And maybe today, someone listening, you're a broken vessel. Well, the Lord has the wonderful power to restore you. And you can be filled with the joy of the Lord once again if you let Christ come in. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Even being saved, before you're saved, you're truly an empty vessel. You may try to fill your vessel with a lot of other things, and your vessel may be full of a lot of other things, but really, in reality, it is spiritually empty. Did you know that you were made to be a Jesus container? You were made to be a Jesus vessel. But one of the great dangers is if you're so full of yourself that you have no room for Jesus. And that's a very dangerous thing. Today, why not open your heart and let Him come in? He loves you so much, He died for you on an old rugged cross to be your Savior. And if you'll open your heart, invite Him in, and receive Him as your Savior, then you can know what it is to be full of the joy of the Lord. You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.